With over 200 flavor notes to discover, Woodford Reserve is more than just a spirit. It's a spectacle for the senses. Toast to 150 years of the Kentucky Derby with the best bet in bourbon. Raise a glass of Woodford Reserve on this monumental celebration.
Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Carmen and Yurko, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
Drilled in the air, right field, Bush has walked it off. First pitch of the night, drive safe.
Cubs walk it off.
You see, Michael Bush was smart last night, Yurko. He said that the rain had started to come down on the north side. And he said, I'm just going to hit the first pitch out.
That's the best way to do it.
That's the best
way to do it. Let's get out of here with a victory.
Like, first pitch, tie game, ninth inning. I'm going to get a fastball. If it's anywhere close, I'm going to hammer it.
He hit it.
You know,
the pitcher at that point, too, is going to have a little grip issues no matter what.
Probably. The rim's raining.
He just wants to throw it right down the pipe.
And into the night
Sometimes
it goes.
You got to pitch to contact, and you hope guys are just popping out, flying out, grounding out, that kind of thing.
The Cubs walk off the Padres. They'll go for a series win today with Dylan Cease, the former Cub farmhand and the former White Sox star, on the bump for the Padres. He's pitched very well. He's been San Diego's best starting pitcher so far this year. But the Cubs can win the series today. Bellinger is back. He hit a home run himself yesterday, drove in another big run. Some excellent defense by Nico Hoerner and your guy, Ian Happ. He might not be a thunderstick, but Ian Happ can still play some defense. And
that's
two catches
one.
In the eighth and the ninth that were big in the Cubs winning that game.
There's a couple of big catches in the last couple of days. He had one that he bobbled the other day, still came down with it. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, if you're not going to hit, catch.
Catch. Be a good outfielder.
If you're not going to hit, catch. Don't be a defensive liability when you're an offensive liability.
And he's been a good outfielder, and the Cubs stay tied atop the division with Milwaukee. Milwaukee had a rally of its own in Kansas City last night. They got a late home run, I think in the ninth, from Willy Adames as the Royals were trying to close out that game. Adames hit a go-ahead three-run home run, and the Cubs and the Brewers remain tied atop the National League Central. But Michael Bush with the walk-off, it's his seventh home run of the year. He leads all rookies, Yurk, in all of baseball with seven home runs. He's seventh in Fangraph's WAR amongst all rookies. He's eighth in weighted runs created plus, and he's your fourth choice for rookie of the year at 6-1 behind Shota, Yamamoto, and Jackson Merrill. Two Cubs in the top four, or top five choices. Top four. Yeah, top four choices. Pretty good.
You'll take that
to be rookie
Chicago
of the
Cubs.
Year.
And who's the pitcher? That's what we just talked
Shota's
about.
Shota's the man, dude.
That guy, I'm telling you. Gave up two runs to take his thing to above one.
Shota is the
1.08. And, at some point you got to say, second time around, this, that. I mean, the more starts he has, the more successful he is. I saw some, but what's his sweeper, by the way? I've noticed this in baseball.
Boy, that's the whole...
What the hell is his sweeper? Is that the old slider?
The new all the rage.
What the hell is it, a sweeper?
This guy's got
a sweeper.
The sweeper is a pitch lab.
What did
pitch.
Steve Carlton pitch when Steve Carlton was on the mound and he was throwing the lefty to a lefty? What was that? They called it a slider in the past. I'm all of a sudden looking at the screen when I decided to watch a little bit of baseball. All of a sudden I see sweeper. Sweeper, sweeper. What the hell is a sweeper? Help me out. I'm old.
It's a slider.
Then what the are we calling it a sweeper for?
Yeah, I'm going to get you the definition.
Why are we calling it a slider or a sinker or a split finger fastball or a curveball?
Well, splitters are pretty unique in their own right. I don't know that there's too much of a variation of a splitter. Curveball, I would say the same thing. Like, you kind of know what a curveball is. If curveball is going to have vertical break. A slider historically has had the horizontal break.
But why are we calling it a sweeper?
So here's the definition as baseball, as MLB.com terms it. Are you ready?
Idiots. Go ahead.
Hey, Eric, evolve or die. Here's the MLB.com definition, but this has become very in vogue recently. You're not wrong. This is like a pitch lab pitch now. A sweeper is a variant of a slider that has become popular in Major League Baseball over the past couple seasons. The main characteristic of a sweeper is a large amount of horizontal movement as opposed to a traditional slider, which has tighter break. But that break has always been horizontal. It's like what's the difference between a curveball and a slider? To me, it was always the access.
Bugs Bunny was going north to south.
The access on which it breaks.
One to seven. on a curveball, as opposed to
you go 1-7. I like that.
Yeah,
like you go 1-7.
1-7.
I always go noon to 12-6.
Noon to 12-6 could be a little bit different, you know.
Yeah. A sweeper tends to be thrown slower.
Slider.
And I think that's the interesting line of maybe demarcation than a traditional slider, which gives it more sweep across the strike zone.
If Kyle Hendricks throws a slider, is it considered a sweeper?
No.
Because he only throws 88 miles an hour anyway on a fastball?
I don't think that's
How slow can he be?
Here's the thing. Like, you talked about Steve Carlton. Or let's think of Randy Johnson.
Yeah. I'd love to think of Randy Johnson.
Like, Randy Johnson's slider was devastating.
They called him the big unit.
They did, Yurko. You know why, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was 6'7",
I believe. 6'7",
when you're 6'7", you're a big fella.
You know, his slider exploded, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was Jacob DeGrom.
John Kruk explodes. Was afraid of it. Kruk was afraid of it.
The sweeper is more of this, like, slow sort of sweeping. Right. It might not explode out of the strike zone as much as it's going to sort of
maximum amount of MPHs I can have on a sweeper? Nope, there's got
to
be one.
I know, and I don't
you
have the answer
to that. You set
the
speed limit. No, you're teaching me. You're telling me about it. You're telling me some are too fast. What's the MPH on a sweeper?
If we want to have this conversation,
we
need to call Connor McKnight right now, because Connor would have better answers than I'm going to have for you. Mellon
really?
Light too.
Really?
Connor's going to have better answers.
Connor's
going to
know
you
what the minimum MPH is. Reach out to Connor. Let me get this number here, Connor McKnight. Let me go into my phone. Connor McKnight. Oh, nope, not there. You have his number?
I have Connor's
Can
number.
You text him and ask him what's the minimum MPH on a sweeper? And I'm sorry
I'm gonna,
to take it off.
I'm going to tell Connor to call
off
right now.
But all of a sudden, I decided to watch baseball.
Get ready for the phone to ring.
All of a sudden,
He's
I decided
him
to watch baseball.
Is he calling him?
Right,
yeah,
and I see the word sweeper on there. I'm what the hell in the hog's ass is going on?
The best part is Yurko's like, I all of a sudden start to watch baseball and I see a sweeper on the screen.
I was confused. What's going on? Since when?
Like the last couple of years. Honestly, it is not that new. It's within the last couple of seasons that it has become a very in vogue pitch.
What are you throwing? I'm throwing a sweeper. Where'd you get it from? Baseball technology.
Baseball pitch.
Can't
on,
wait
what do they call it? What's the place?
Unveil.
The drive line. They all go to drive line.
I can't wait to unveil my sweeper. It's coming at you.
The origin. You ready for the origin?
Yeah.
The sweeper is still a relatively. Oh, Connor's on hold. Hold on. The sweeper still a relatively new pitch.
I want to find out what Connor knows.
Though pitchers like Adam Ottavino and Yu Darvish have been throwing sweeper-like sliders for years, it first became trendy as its own pitch late in 2021 and into early 2022. It was popularized by teams like the Dodgers and Yankees and other pitchers around the league started calling the sweeper and it started becoming increasingly used. All right, let's go out to the CarX Tire and Auto Guest Hotline. By the way, Dansby Swanson has been ruled out today.
Dansby's out?
He's got a tweaked knee.
Oh, boy.
Connor, we turn to you now to talk to us. Yurko decided to put a baseball game on.
Finally watched a baseball game yesterday.
Wouldn't you know it, Connor? He's learning about sweepers.
What the hell is a sweeper?
I said we better call Connor now because he wants to know about spin rate and MPH and, like, what is the line of demarcation for sweeper versus slider.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay, so first of all, I'm glad you called. Secondly, you guys have told Danny this is time and a half for me, right?
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
He's aware. You get a comp day. Don't worry.
All right. Excellent. I'm glad. Because when you're on with the union steward, you want to make sure that you're getting
taken right
care of.
We're going to give you the day off when the White Sox lose 20-0 coming up here.
All right.
Not
sounds
much
good
to
me
talk about there.
Sounds good to Connor. Yeah.
All right. So, okay. So the question is, what's a sweeper versus a slider?
Yeah, that's kind of what Yurko wants to know. And I've said that for years, you know, it was easy to distinguish curveballs and sliders based on the axis of which they break. A curveball's got very much a vertical break to it. Sliders traditionally have a very tight, sharp horizontal break.
Carmen has also informed me today that there's a MPH maximum on a sweeper.
Well, I feel like that's sort of what differentiates, like, the traditional slider with the sweeper. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's kind of where we're headed. I mean, to be honest with you, I kind of take Darren Jackson's approach to all of this. The pitch really shouldn't be defined by what we're reading on the monitors or, like, the spin rates or anything like that. It should be defined by the hitter and the guy that's throwing it, right?
Mm.
So when you see that bullet slider, right, the thing that goes I don't know, like 91.
Yes.
And shows you the dot, right, when you're hitting it, and then drops straight down.
Yes.
BJ's contention is that, like, listen, I get that that's a slider, but when a hitter steps into the box, what he's reading is 12-6, and that's more like a curve. So hitters will do that for themselves and kind of set that mindset right, however they need to set it, so they can go up and approach the thing. When it comes to the slider versus sweeper sort of thing, everything old is new again, right? Like, we've been throwing sweepers in baseball for a long, long time. The first sliders in baseball were called nickel curves because that's just what they called it, right? The slider is the pitch that we, you know, saw coming up in the 70s, the Seaver and everything like that.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. But we were doing this, like, pre-World War I, right? Mm. The Kaiser might have saw a slider when he was stepping into the box getting ready for
Kaiser
war.
Kaiser Soze?
Yeah, Kaiser Soze. No, Kaiser Permanente. So when you look at the, like, we've been doing this for a while, and, like, old trends become new, and now we're watching the high fastball kind of fall out of vogue, and we're going back to splitters like Brandon Webb was throwing in the 2000s for the Diamondbacks, and making, you know, everybody beat the ball into the ground. I get that the vogue is fun and that we can measure all of the things. These things is good. Like, Shota Imanaga has got a bad fastball, but he's got one of the best fastballs in the game, not because of what it does, but because of what the rest of his stuff does to hitters.
Yeah.
So, long way around, pitching is really, you know, kind of difficult to do. And I've tried really hard to not get, ready for this, swept up in the sweeper revolution.
I like this.
I think it's fun to talk about.
I was
and it's
stunned.
A cool pitch to have, but I'm not sitting here obsessing over. You need to be the organization that's teaching sweepers to everybody and doing this, you know, kind of Yankees thing. Because while it does generate, like, this one weird trick can get you a better and contending bullpen really quickly.
Mm.
I don't know that it's necessarily long term success because hitters are going to react. Like, league-wide, I don't mean like the individual hitter and at bat. Like, league-wide, we're going to see these trends change in reverse, I think, some too.
Are there still four-seamers and two-seamers?
Not as many four-seamers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got a four-seamer. We got a two-seamer. A lot of times, a guy throw you a two-seamer, and it's really a sinker. You know, it's got that kind of dive to it. You know, the right-hander throws it down and away, you know, to the lefty, that kind of thing, or down and into the right-hander. That can be a sinker. It depends. I mean, I can move it off the hip if you want, you know, kind of like, left to right without the dive, and that's not a super helpful pitch if you run it right into the barrel of a lefty. But, yeah, you can get two-seamers in these days, too.
See, that's a better explanation than I was ever going to be able to give.
You and I would have danced around this for the better part of 3 hours.
And that's why we called you. And
we called the baseball expert.
For those 5 minutes,
Connor,
you will be getting a comp day.
Thank you.
And, yeah, you know.
You will. You'll be getting it. It'll come in October, but you will have it.
Early October, the way it looks. But yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, very, very. We look forward to McKnight at the Movies tomorrow, my friend.
Right. Thank you for the reminder.
There's your soft reminder. Okay. Yeah, there's your soft reminder.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, all Connor. Right. See ya. See, that's a good explanation of, you know, why it's called that, why it's in vogue now. And it's basically a pitch that's kind of been around forever, but certain organizations and, you know, the smart ones are trying to figure out maybe in the margins where they can get certain guys and certain their bullpen guys to throw those more, and because it can be a tough pitch to hit. But, you know, that's just because it's in vogue now doesn't mean it will be two seasons from now. There'll be something else, Eric, and we'll have to call Connor and say, what's this new pitch?
All right.
Well, it's not that new. They just reclassified it.
You know how my brain works, that once we start talking baseball, I had to ask you about it. You know,
Dansby
Swanson is not going to play tonight with something in his knee. What the hell is a sweeper? I mean, that's exactly where I went.
Can I ask you a question about your Cubs last night coming up?
Oh, absolutely.
And about the game, the way the game was managed late?
Yeah,
we'll
sure.
Do that coming
you
up.
Bet. I hope I have an answer for you.
I think you will.
Yeah, I did see Bobby Duvall and Robert Downey Jr. do a little something magical last night in a movie.
Is this something on the
dark judge.
Web? Or,
the judge.
Yeah,
the judge.
Movie. Very
great
good,
movie.
Very good movie. Yeah. Well, you're talking about two world-class actors there.
Yeah.
So, if you'd like to talk anything from last night, Cubs-related or otherwise, with us, 312-332-3776. But I do have a question about last night. I want to talk a little bit more about Shota Imanaga, too. We're entering into it like it's, you know, Shota's can't miss stuff right now, right? And how long will it continue when the league sees him a second and a third time? I mean, we'll get answers to those questions as the spring and summer go along. He's like can't miss, though, right now. And he continues to go out there and mostly dominate. without a 97-mile-an-hour fastball, without a 96, without a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. It's pretty impressive. 312-332-3776. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
So the Cubs got the win. Shota was pretty awesome. Then he gave up a two-run homer where the Padres had tied it in the eighth. Were you surprised Shota got sent back out for the eighth inning? Or did you think...
What was the pitch count?
He was at like 90-something, I want to say, but
No, because, you know, the bullpen is what the bullpen is.
Right.
And I think he was feeling good about his guy, and he sent him back out there.
And I think he knew, Craig Counsell is being, he knew that Arise was going to pinch hit, which he did. So I think he liked the idea of having Shota face Arise, and he hadn't seen him.
Yeah.
And Arise had...
You know how you knew he was coming into the game? He got up.
He got up. Yeah, yeah, very Arise. Funny. You're funny. And Arise hit...
Arise.
You know, he hit a ball just enough into the gap where Nico had to range to his left.
Right.
Knocked the ball down, but just couldn't quite make the play.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty innocuous. And it was like, you kind of felt like, you know, okay, it didn't work. And Arise is on base now. And I think I had noticed on the Padre call of the home run that Profar became the first player this year to see Shota for a fourth time, a fourth go-around.
Ah.
And then sure enough, he hits a home run. But I still think it kind of worked out the way Counsell was hoping, knowing Arise was going to pinch hit, how dangerous he can be. A soft hit ball that had a low expected batting average turns out to be basically an infield hit almost. And then a couple of pitches later, it's a tie game. But I don't think Counsell did anything wrong there. Do you realize Shota has still not given up? He has not issued a walk or given up an extra base hit to a left-handed batter. So, like, to your point, is Shota still your best bet at facing Arise there in the eighth?
I think the answer is yes.
The answer is probably yes. It just didn't work out. And the only thing that stunk for Shota is he couldn't factor in the game at that point.
Yes.
You know, he didn't get the win.
No decision. No decision there for him.
Yeah. All right, so I think we're on the same page.
I think we are on the same page. I'd like to argue with you, and I'd like to say you're wrong, but I can't.
And I don't think Counsell misplayed that.
I don't think he
did
either. And they ended up winning the damn game
And they
anyway.
Won the game anyway, thanks to Michael Busch. Yeah.
There you go.
You know, like Sylvie joked, I saw Sylvie joke on X afterwards, because, you know, a lot of yesterday we talked about it on our show a little. We had a caller from Washington call, who's a lifelong Cub fan, who called and said,
guys, don't stress about anything.
Listen, I don't stress about anything with the Cubs because I'm not a Cub fan, but... We talk about the Cubs plan, and he said, don't stress. Don't worry about the bullpen. Enjoy the ride. And, yeah, you know, you should be enjoying the ride. And I saw Sylvie put on X. he said something like, just here to enjoy the ride, never in doubt. A few crying emojis, you know.
We are number one in Washington, the state of, and Washington, D.C.
I don't know about the latter, but definitely
callers,
the former.
A lot of callers in Washington, D.C.
If you want to join us, you can ring us up at 312-332-3776. Carmen and Yurk, get interactive on our YouTube channel. You can watch every day on YouTube. Follow our own YouTube channel. All the shows on the station have their own channel. So just go to youtube.com/@Carmen and Yurko. If you're on the app, which is usually the way I'm watching on YouTube, just go to your YouTube app. Search at Carmen and Yurko. Like and subscribe. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, Yurko. It's important. And you can watch us every day in our State Street studios. You think he's at his gym working out again like he was yesterday? Downtown Dean? Even though he's not downtown?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Dean has become like Danny in Schaumburg. Danny, most of the time when he calls us, is not in Schaumburg.
Can I tell you where Dean's at?
He's lifting iron.
You're on Monday and Tuesday if you're working out right. Wednesday's a rest day. So you're on Monday and Tuesday.
Groups.
You can do that theoretically.
That's what I used to
do. But what are you doing, a 40-minute workout? I mean, when you go to it's 90 minutes. In 90 minutes, you got plenty of time to get the muscle groups that are necessary. It's always legs and back.
I always used to combine
chest and
legs and back,
all right?
I used to do chest, tries, and shoulders together, and then legs and back
together. Did you change up your chest routine on the second day?
Yes.
So I would bench and incline, and then I'd do bench dumbbells on one day, then third day I'd come back that Thursday, it would be bench incline, or I'd incline first, then I'd bench, then I'd go to incline dumbbells.
And just, yeah.
And then change start up the pumping routine. The triceps like there were no tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Triceps more important than the biceps.
Oh.
Why? Three heads on the tricep.
Yeah, yeah.
You know the guys that only did buys all day, you could see them. They had a little bicep, nothing on the back end. Oh, my God. And the legs were like sticks. I go, would you forget leg day every single day?
Well, leg day is the hard day, kid.
You got to get leg day in, baby.
Leg day is hard, you know.
That's where them calves came from.
Dean is downtown. What's up, Dino?
Dino, where you at?
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Yeah, guys, I'm here. I mean, ever since I moved out here 8 months ago, I come here, I lift weights for an hour and a half every day, and I go on the treadmill for 2 hours every day. I've lost like 50 pounds since Thanksgiving. I don't do anything except work out.
Get out of here. 50 pounds?
Dude, listen, I yo-yo. I go up and down all the time. But listen, I'm not like Adam Abdallah and spend my time shopping for shoes all day or Chris Fleck going home to my supermodel wife. Oh, downtown Dean is a working man, okay? I go to the gym and then I go and sweat it out at the Rib Shack every day. That's my life, guys.
That's it. You sound like Pedro Grifol. All my life is baseball. That's all I do. You're the Pedro Grifol of the North Shore now.
May I give a special shout out to Randy Merkin, the hardest working man in Deerfield, and you can find his book Behind the Glass on Amazon.
Hardest working man in Deerfield. I mean, he's doing cookie reviews for crying
cookie
out loud.
Cookie reviews.
I'm doing a cookie review with Merkin coming
Are
up.
You?
Yes. I got some of them. You know, Abdallah, we're doing a bourbon/cookie review together.
Okay.
We're going to be reviewing the chocolate chip cookies from the Masters. I have them sitting in the fridge.
Beautiful.
And we're going to pick out a bourbon to match with the cookies and do a combo review.
Is there any chance he can thrill us with a no adjective story?
Yurko, you know what? Dean, what was the purpose for your phone call, please?
I know I call and I joke a lot, guys, but today is the day I settle all family business, Carm. Okay?
All right.
This is getting a little out of hand. The Cubs, let's be honest with ourselves, gentlemen, they should have lost that game last night. Now, I know I said yesterday that I had a ticket on the Padres. I am a little sour.
Mm-hmm.
You know how DraftKings offers that two-run lead now? So that's the worst is when you go up a run and then you can't get that second run. But I digress. You see, the reason I called is because I was telling Adam, you know, even though I'm a bit of a Cubs fan, honestly, I don't care if they don't win again for another 108 years. So they won one, so that's enough for me. But that poor kid, you know, Yurk kind of said it. He touched on this. His ERA essentially doubled last night. You get that great outing from him, and then you trot him out there in the eighth inning. And the reason they do that is because Council knows that they don't have any relief. They don't have anyone they can put in there. They're going to blow the game. I mean, that's just, you know, they should have lost that game. So I'm a little confused at why people are so happy about this win when at the top of the ninth you had two on. This game could have easily gone the other way, but that's just how I feel. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, Dino, thanks. It could have. It didn't. You should be happy about it because, you know, your rookie first baseman who's been pretty good hit a walk-off home run. You should be excited about those things. Does it what's the word I'm looking for here?
Jabberwocky.
It's definitely not.
Is it Camp Kishawaki? No.
It's definitely not Camp Kishawaki.
Is it pterodactyl?
It's not pterodactyl. I'm searching for a word to describe Craig Counsell's thought process as to not maybe trust his
Machiavellian?
Bullpen. It's not Machiavellian either. That's a good word, but it's definitely not. And I'm just having a brain fart. I can't.
Okay, I'm just throwing words
place
at
like
you.
I'm hoping
it triggers someone
to use.
Right. I hope a synapse fires.
You're not helping.
Does a synapse, will it fire, Carm?
Camp.
And will it produce the word you're searching for?
Camp Kishawaki's not going to help.
No. Nope. Yeah, loved it. Boy Scout, I went to Camp Kishawaki. I got my survival badge there. That's why I earned the nickname Festivities. You've heard this.
Oh, I've heard it. Yeah. I know. You know, it is it that he doesn't trust anybody, or is it just he thought Shota was going to be his best option against a rise? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Now, maybe you say, well, the answer is simple, Carm. He pitched great. He pitched seven innings for you. The only explanation is he doesn't trust his bullpen at all, and that's not a good thing. That's not a good place for a manager to be.
He faces going to the bullpen with trepidation.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's it. Trepidation.
I like trepidation.
He looks down there and he doesn't want to reach to the left arm or the right arm.
Yeah.
He does it left arm, right arm. Neither one's a good one. When you're looking down to your bullpen and you don't want to touch either one of your arms, it's a problem.
I have a feeling this will all work itself out one way or another. I do. I think the Cubs are good enough to overcome some of the issues they've got right now.
But
the
I think the bullpen turns it around.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like
turns it around.
One way or another, like it rectifies itself. And you got a pretty good team on the north side. Bellinger's back. You had a good game last night. Saya coming back on a rehab stint now. Steve's in Blue Island. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. How are you?
I just fantastic. I wanted to call and give you guys a little information on the sweeper. It was related to something called Steam Shifted Wake. And there's a really good video on YouTube called a Baseball Bits video called Baseball's New Pitch. And it was based off a study done by a professor at some university off of Freddie Garcia pitch and Kyle Hendricks' slider.
Mm.
It's a really good video. You guys check it out. You'll learn all about the sweeper.
Look at you. Baseball's New Pitch. Simple as that on YouTube. Steven, thank you, my man. We appreciate it. So I'm gonna,
can you pull that YouTube up on Bing, Yurko?
I'm not pulling it up on Bing. I'm reading about the NFL predictions on the schedule.
I do want to talk more about that with you.
I was right.
Like, it turns out Yurko was right.
I was right.
And then the league just decided to get cute for some reason.
I'm right.
I think he was right, you
what
guys.
What was he right on?
Well, the original schedule was to be released on May 9th.
The original schedule was supposed to be released on May 9th.
Thank you.
I think
thank
so.
Thank you.
I don't know. I think... We can talk about it when we come back.
The delay was made specifically by the NFL for financial reasons. I'm coming to find out.
Let's talk about it when we come back. Don't forget, at 1:15, we're going to do our Mother's Day fails. We've done Father's Day fails. This time we need to know how you effed up Mother's
Day. Your Mother's Day. You got mom something happened, something nice. You bought her a car. You smashed the car before you ever got to the place.
You bought her a vacuum. That's not a good gift.
Listen, if you're a mom and your guy's too chicken blank to call in and say it, tell us how, you know.
You can
call.
A mom.
Why not?
Yeah,
you can call
a
$300 gift card.
Guess what my idiot husband did?
Yeah.
And you can tell us, and you could win a $300 gift card to Tricoche.
That's a wife. That's not a mom.
Well, I'm saying...
You said idiot husband.
Yeah.
The husband should be doing something for his mom. What's he doing something for his wife
for? No. Because she's still... If they've got kids, she's the mother of their kids.
And the kid's responsibility.
You think it's my 16th-month-old responsibility to take care of my wife on Mother's Day?
Right.
Yeah.
So what dumb thing did your husband or son or daughter do that ruined your Mother's Day? This is open to anybody in any story. We're going to do it at 1:15.
Provide some spittle for mom.
And they...
You're so mad at him right now.
The winner's going to get a $300 gift card to Tricoche. Now through May 13th, you can earn a $15 bonus with every $100 gift card you buy. Plus, new clients get $20 off their first service. All you have to do is go to Tricoche.com/ESPN to send an e-gift card. You can buy them in the store, too, but you can also do this online with an e-gift card. And just go to Tricoche.com. That's TRICOCI.com/ESPN to send that gift card and to collect on the bonuses. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Beautiful day outside today. Hope everyone is enjoying it. Hey, baseball on the north side. It'll be without Dansby Swanson. He's got a little bit of a knee, I guess. He's got a knee. So he is out for this one. Cubs trying to win the series against the Padres after walking San Diego off last night. For those of us in the local chapter of the Friars fan club, here it goes. A little bit of a tough night, you know.
Tough night?
There are some of us in the fan club, you know. Local chapter 404.
The Friars.
Yeah, the Friars, yeah.
The Friars.
The Friars fan club.
I mean, Deep Friars fan club?
No. F-R-I-A-R. F-R-I-A-R-S.
Okay.
Friars. Yeah, not the Deep Friars. That's another nickname for the Padres.
Yes, I gotcha. Like Little John. No, Little John in Robin Hood. Who was the name of the priest?
It was...
Father Tuck. Friar Tuck. Friar Tuck. Yes. Like Friar Tuck. Friars, another name for the Padres.
I don't know why I said Father Tuck. I'm thinking of Mother's Day.
And he was a beekeeper in that movie, Robin, with Russell Crowe.
What's the story I heard Waddle and Sylvie talking about? Matt Eberflus has a beekeeping business on the side?
Honey business.
Honey business.
You got to have bees and you got to keep them to be able to have honey.
Matt Eberflus is making honey?
Eberflus honey. Yes.
That can't be.
I wonder if we can get a jar. Maybe we can go online and buy a jar. Natural honey, Carm.
Could this possibly
be? Clover honey. Delicious.
Now, as for the schedule in the NFL, It was reported that it will officially be next week. That I guess teams were notified it's going to be next week. Yurko originally had the day pegged as May 9th, and then when we realized that it wasn't going to happen this week, we said, Yurko, how did that go so terribly wrong? And we realized he's using the Bing search engine, and that's not one you want to be using. Black and Abdallah have been making fun of him mercilessly for the last 48 hours.
I'm on the Google machine now. I'm on Google Dark.
But it does appear that the league had originally wanted to release the schedule in full this week, and for whatever reason, there's a delay.
There's financial considerations being made.
Some are speculating, including Boomer Esiason, that Netflix is jumping in this year.
Oh.
And that potentially one of the... He didn't, like, say it. He kind of did what I've been doing with the Bears and Hard Knocks. I don't have... And I'm not a reporter anymore. I don't really... I'm not...
News reporters invade my quarters. Go ahead.
I'm not publicizing or printing this in a reputable news outlet, so I can be a little bit more...
Speculative.
That's a good way to put it. And maybe slightly more careless. I don't have it definitively locked down with multiple sources the way my journalism teachers in college taught me. I'm pretty sure the Bears are getting Hard Knocks. And I've been saying that for a few weeks now,
A month ago. People inside and people outside.
I've heard from both one source inside and one source outside. We'll call it a league source.
Yes.
The easiest way I could put it. That fully believes it's going to be announced soon that the Bears will be appearing on Hard Knocks.
100%.
So, like, it's kind of like the Windhorse thing. Everybody does the meme now. Remember Windy from last year? I'm not saying. I'm just saying that thing. Like, Boomer was doing one of those.
Right.
That don't be shocked if Netflix gets one of the Christmas Day games.
Oh, boy. Those are up for grabs then.
So is that what the delay is?
Well,
is that why the schedule is not out yet?
Carm, if one of the games is up for grabs, it's got to mean the other game is up for grabs, too.
What will Netflix have to pay for one single game? And I was trying to remember.
I'm guessing, and I think it would be a package deal. Netflix would get a game and then a playoff game. Because I believe they went to the seventh playoff team on each side after they negotiated the deal in 2020. The deal, the 10-year contract was signed going into the 2020 campaign.
So what do you think Netflix would pay for one game this year?
I think for one game, $60 million. For a playoff game, $140
million. So I think Yurko's probably in the ballpark.
So Peacock paid $110
million. $110
million. For a wild card game.
For the playoff game. Now, that was a playoff game.
Yeah.
So is Yurko right? Are we thinking about $60 or $70 million?
No. Nope. The cost of everything keeps going up. I would say the standalone Christmas Day game would be closer to $100 million. And now Peacock can say, look at how many people watch the wild card game. Now, or the NFL can say, look at how many people watch the wild card game. Now the going rate for a wild card game is going to be $150, $160.
Sweet Jesus.
Because it's not like the cost is going to come down. The cost is going to keep going up.
Now, and the NFL is also taking a look at what the NBA contracts that are going to be signed, what they're going to look like.
That's a big thing right now. Like the NBA is negotiating on its new deal,
Yes, they are. So the NFL, which is the king of the kings.
Yes, it is.
The king of the kings, the everything up on top of the mountain with Zeus. Zeus and the NFL sit on top of the mountain. They're looking to see what kind of money people are going to spend for live television programming when it comes to sports. So it'll be interesting. But yes, that's probably what derailed my original exact date on when the schedule was supposed to come out.
It could be.
Greed.
I don't know.
Well, hold on.
I love it.
You're taking a victory lap. So you think in the last three or four days Netflix was like, you know what? This Brady roast was nice. Yeah. Let's do some more football. And they say, beep, boop, 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 National Football League. Hi, it's Mr. Netflix.
Hi, NFL. It's Netflix.
How you doing? My name's John Mulaney.
Yeah.
I would like to purchase some football for Christmas.
What's
we don't have
available?
A big schedule on Christmas. What can I have for Christmas?
What's available?
All right, get back to me. And then everyone at the league office said, hold it, right? They have this big countdown clock in the league office counting down to the new schedule release and a big button. One person is in charge of pushing the button, and then we get to find out the schedule. And the guy was about to hit the button to let us know that it was going to be this week, and that someone pushes open the doors and goes, hold on! We have a deal with Mr. Netflix. We got to figure this out next week.
Next week.
Release it on Bing so Yurko thinks it's going to happen this week.
I understand your skepticism. I understand your flippant attitude toward my extensive knowledge.
Do you understand it?
I do, because it's coming through.
Oh, perfect.
The sarcasm's coming through.
Fantastic.
Yeah, crystal clear, it's coming through.
Listen, Mr. Crosby.
The NFL.
Get it, Bing Crosby.
Yeah, I get
it. The reason, I think if anybody's going to take a victory lap,
it should be me.
It should be your best friend, Mike Florio, because he's the one that floated the idea that this is going to come out because of the upfronts and how big the NFL is on these networks. And so when all these networks have their upfronts next week, which is where they say, these are the new shows that are going to fail during the fall.
Right.
They can say, we also have an NFL game, and we also have this, because that's the prize. The prize, like you guys said, is the NFL.
I think Yurko ultimately was onto something. He read it somewhere correctly. I think you're also right that Mike Florio gets a victory lap for this. We don't like admitting that Florio should take a victory lap for anything, but I think you're right. And I also like the fact that in Chris's scenario, I believe he had John Mulaney as the one calling the NFL.
Yeah.
And that's pretty hilarious
Mr.
to me.
Mr. Netflix.
NFL, it's John Mulaney. I put down the crack cocaine and we're ready to talk deal.
My new show wasn't that great. So here's what we're going to do now.
We'd like some
more
football.
Coke for me. Let's make
Not
a deal.
Not only am I going to take a victory lap in the honor of the great Alan Kulwicki, I am going to take a Polish victory lap and take one backwards around the track. Okay. So that would be two victory laps.
I don't know those references.
Well, Alan Kulwicki was a NASCAR champion in the 7 Hooters car.
Yes.
Passed away tragically in a helicopter accident. But he was responsible
not
for the Polish.
I would have thought he would have died.
The Polish victory lap is still what he was responsible for.
Not at all,
for.
Right? Like, normally it's the rock stars that go that
First
way.
Of
he was
all,
a NASCAR guy.
The NFL doesn't do anything kind of haphazard. Okay, the NFL has their schedule laid out at the beginning of the year. You know when the league year ends. You know when free agency begins. You know when tampering begins. You know when the first mini camps are. You know when the draft is going to be. You know when free agency. You know it all. This date, May 9th, was etched in stone until whenever Netflix called and whoever this crack-induced Mulaney is. I have no idea.
He's off
no
the point. Crack now.
So. Yeah. No, you said it was this week. It's done. Not this week. How are you taking a victory lap
deal.
On this?
Let him because have it was lap, supposed Chris. To be.
No, there, it was never
May
supposed
night.
To be. We knew it was going to be in May. That's
what
it.
What did they do with the stone? They shattered it and said, what did Netflix say? They wanted a Christmas game? Ooh, that's going to be more money for everybody. Let's do it.
This is the most asinine take on the radio station. In years.
A genius, and like when Galileo said that the sun is the center of the earth and not the earth,
yes.
What'd they do? They mocked him. They tried to stone
him. They did try to mock him.
Did they?
Exactly.
And he was right.
What you have here is you've been given knowledge and you refuse to accept and take it.
I'm asking, what is the knowledge?
What you should do is simply say thank you.
Yeah, Chris. Don't
Simply
you know he's like Galileo?
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you for getting
Galileo.
The date wrong?
You don't know that he's like Galileo?
For having the date right.
And then how is it right?
Swept the rug out
what
from under
What was the date
me.
That you reported?
They swept the rug out from under
Swept the rug out from under
Do we have a partner. Schedule today?
I'm with my partner. Tomorrow. We were
Thank
supposed
you.
To. My what, God.
We were Florian, supposed to.
When Florian says you. On Pro Football Talk, your guy's best friend.
Next Wednesday,
he
right?
He said, yeah, it's Wednesday, obviously. Yeah, but he said Wednesday. Teams had been expecting this release Thursday.
Yes.
And I will add my own that what happens when you assume things, you make an ass out of Yurko.
Well, okay. Do you know who really gets to take the victory lap, you guys?
I do. I'm doing it right now.
No, seriously.
Another win for the good kid.
Take a lap.
Do you know who gets the victory lap? It's the league and its owners again. And all the money. And it makes it... It drives home the point we've been making about the insanity of teams like the Bears and the Chiefs and anybody else begging the public for their money to build their new stadiums. When Netflix is going to pony up $100 million for a standalone game, and like Adam said, the price goes up to Peacock for a division for a wild card weekend or a divisional game, and it goes up to $150 million. And before you know it, it's going to be $200 million per game. And the TV deal is approaching $10 billion annually. $10 billion annually that the league and the 32 teams divide up. The cartel that is the NFL, the cartel that is professional sports in America, and they have the nerve to ask us for money to build their new stadium. The real victory lap, as always, goes to the billionaire owners. That's who gets to take a victory lap.
I think also, too, like the NFL doesn't need us to be talking about them to be popular, right? But we've just
No,
spent,
but it's part of it, though. It's part of their master
but
plan,
we just
Adam.
Spent 15 minutes talking about a schedule release that didn't happen.
Right. That didn't even happen.
That is going to happen next week. Yeah. Like, they got an extra week of pub because everyone thought the schedule was coming out this week, and now it's not coming out next week, so now we're talking about it, and us talking about it is brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino, Northern Indiana. And because of that, they get an extra day of us talking about the schedule release coming out. And now, of course, Boomer Esiason, who might be a tool of the league, saying...
Well, he's definitely a tool.
See what I did there? Saying that a game might go to Netflix, which he even said in his quote, I might be wrong.
He's doing the wind horse.
He's doing the points. He's doing the, I don't know, guys.
But Windhorse
I might
was
be
right,
wrong.
Though, right?
But,
I mean,
yeah, Windhorse was ultimately right, but we don't know.
You know. 312-332-3776. Mother's Day fails coming up at 1:15 for the $300 Tracoche gift card. $300, you kidding? What a gift that's going to make. It's Carmen and York. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. If you missed something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Carmen and York, hope everyone's having a great day. We are. Glad you're with us. You can watch us on YouTube. Follow our channel. Just subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can watch every day. Catch up on things that you might miss. You'll get alerts by liking and subscribing. That's all you have to do. Search at Carmen and Yurko on YouTube. Simple as that. Malik's in Homewood. We love the great folks in Homewood. What up, Malik?
Hey, I was just telling the guy I was listening to you guys on the radio. You guys are great. That the NFL is probably going to renegotiate the contracts of, like, some of the premium games, like the Kansas City Chiefs, because of that Taylor Swift effect, bringing in millions of viewers just because she's there. They're probably going to renegotiate that game and ask for a premium price to people like Netflix, because, of course, she brings people to the game.
Price keeps going up, Malik. You're right. I mean, there's no doubt. It's the most popular sport in America by far. It's the biggest ratings, the most viewers. Whether you liked it or not, you can't argue with the fact that she had a substantial effect on viewership last year. It's already popular. She made it even more popular. It's just a fact.
We're trying to get that in Chicago. I mean, who can we get here in Chicago with the Taylor Swift effect? You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean, Yurk?
We're trying to get the same effect here in Chicago.
Like so Caleb starts.
Can we get a power
couple? He's got a
couple.
Rome's got a girlfriend. Caleb's
Rome does
got a girlfriend.
Too. Everybody's got a girlfriend. Nobody famous?
I don't think so.
How about don't you guys have to play from the other direction where you have to find someone who's like top 10 fame in the world and then
and
hook them up with a Chicago athlete?
Yeah, that's what we have
play
to do.
Matchmaker.
Like, does Cole Komet, is Cole in a relationship?
No, we're thinking about Dua Lipa.
Yeah, right. See, now you're on to something.
Thinking about Dua Lipa.
Dua Lipa.
There you go.
Straight gas.
That's what you're thinking
Brian
about.
Adam, do that again so everybody on YouTube can see if they're watching. I mean,
Dua Lipa.
That accent of hers.
Oh, yeah.
When she starts, where's she from originally?
Oh, man.
She's from somewhere. Maybe the new punter will be interested.
The couple? English and Albanian singer-songwriter.
When she starts speaking Albanian, dude, get out of here.
Let me tell you, my buddy Ray married an Albanian girl.
Oh, man.
Hello, how are
you? When she speaks her native tongue, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
We got to get Dua Lipa. Now you're thinking.
What are we talking about?
Jake's in Naperville. What's up, Jake?
Hey, yo, guys. Yeah, I mean, I was going to say... you know, I'm with you, realistically, when it comes to some of this gatekeeping that's going on. You know, I'm a subscriber. I was listening to the Greeny show earlier before talking about some of this gatekeeping that these streaming platforms are doing. I mean, it's going to end up, you know, for me, I'm actually an avid Bears-Cubs fan, right? Like we saw with the Marquee Network and things like that. Like, I just stopped watching, you know what I mean? Like, and that is what the result is going to be, and it's going to end up being this, like, pageantry rather than an actual sport event. And I fear that sports are getting meshed into this world of entertainment rather than the practical sport that it is. Not that I don't want people to view it, right? But I do think that it's going to cause the people who actually care about the sport to just ignore it you know, and that's where I'm at when it comes to stuff like this.
All right, well, we'll talk more about that coming up, Jake, if anybody's fearful that that may actually happen. Look, this is entertainment, though, at the end of the day. I mean, we love sports. I think most of us grew up playing or, you know, enjoying the competition. We still love that today. I think that's why we do love it. But it is entertainment at the end of the day. We'll weave in some of the Friends of the Park stuff, too. For the first time, their acting executive director talked about some of the Bears' plans. The Sun-Times had a story about it late yesterday. And so we can discuss some of that and how the new TV deals might work in the NBA, some of the new money that's going to roll in, and if more and more things going go to streaming platforms, you know, at what point will you reach a breaking point with the way you have to consume sports that you love? 312-332-3776. We're back in 2 minutes.